Philip II of Macedonia. Philip's campaigns, 346 to 341 BCE. In 345 BCE, Philip led a major expedition against the Illyrians, fighting a number of tribal kings, including Plutarchus, in operations that may well have lasted into the next year. Past Macedonian victories and the death of Bardalus had inevitably influenced local rivalries as different leaders and groups rose and fell. Whenever any became strong enough, or Macedonia seemed weak enough, then raids were likely. Philip was determined to dominate and terrify the Illyrians rather than risk them doing the same to him. He ravaged tribal lands and stormed many settlements, gaining a rich haul of plunder, no doubt including captives and livestock as well as treasure. Diplomacy and treachery accompanied military force. On one occasion, Philip went to meet with a group of warriors. The enemy had his own escort of soldiers, carried no weapons, but the Macedonians were equipped with concealed ropes or leather thongs. At his signal, they suddenly turned on the Illyrians and tied their arms together, leading them off as prisoners. Our source claimed that 10,000 were captured in this way is hardly credible, and perhaps only the leading men were taken and the rest forced to give in. Not everything went Philip's way. And some of the fighting was hard, for in one engagement, one of his companion cavalrymen was killed and no fewer than 150 were wounded. Another example of the huge disparity between the number of fatalities and the number of wounded. Philip received a blow that broke his collarbone. Elsewhere, Diodorus Siculus claims that in one engagement against the Illyrian, the king was saved because one of his bodyguards, a youth named Pausanias, stood over him when he fell and saved Philip at the cost of his own life. This may relate to this episode or have occurred in a later, otherwise unrecorded campaign in the area. The Macedonians still seem to have won this encounter. And if not, then they soon won an overall victory and dominate a large part of Illyria, almost to the Adriatic coast. More mining areas came under Philip's control, adding revenue and resources to meet his ongoing demands. Recovery from the injury presumably took time and was another testament to Philip's tough constitution. The details and chronology of his activities in this year are poorly recorded. Since once again our Greek sources display limited interest in the affairs of the peoples to the north. More than one visit to Thessaly is likely to attribute it to in continuing rivalries of its noble families and cities. There were inevitably winners and losers, the ones who gained his favor and the ones who did not. And their views about him and what he had done varied accordingly. He feigned illness in one attempt to lure some of the Alude family from Larissa to come to him so they could be arrested. But word reached them of the deception and they didn't show up. At least one of them later appears serving the Persians against Alexander, and quite a few may have chosen exile. By 342 BCE, if not before, Philip reformed the Thessalian League, dividing it into four regions, each overseen by a tetrarch appointed by him rather than elected. Yet for all the rhetoric of Philip's critics, even they admitted that the king treated the cities and the league as independent allies and not as his subjects. His use of power to enforce his will was more blatant when at some point around this time he marched into Epirus and deposed King Artabatus. Olympias' younger brother, also named Alexander, was now 20 years old and replaced his uncle as king in a bloodless campaign. Artabatus went in a comfortable exile in Athens, which welcomed him and made him a citizen. Afterwards, Philip led his army beyond Epirus's borders to attack three or four Greek cities near the Ambracian Gulf. The pretext for this is unknown, although no doubt there were disputes easy enough to revive. The aim was to secure Epirus's borders and enrich the kingdom because these cities, all originally colonies of Elis, controlled the maritime trade to and from the wider world. Philip made them slaves to King Alexander, which, as he had taken over the cities like Amphipolis, to add to his own wealth and power. Once again, outside of his interventions, the Molossian-led kingdom of Epirus ran its own affairs and was another independent, if closely and clearly subordinate, ally. From 342 BCE onward, for the next 3 or 4 years, Thrace was once again occupied by Philip's time and resources. For instance, in 341 BCE, Demosthenes reported that Philip had already been fighting in Thrace for 10 to 11 months consecutively. There was a fresh war with the Celibates, and Philip appears to have resolved to bring much of the region under more or less direct control. At the start, he posed as protector of the Greek cities in the area, but his aim was clearly to conquer the wider area, and there was indeed heavy fighting. Demosthenes spoke disparagingly of the king marching without the phalanx that was the heart of a proper army, and instead leading cavalry, peltasts, archers, and mercenaries. Much of the terrain was mountain and forest, ripe for ambush. On at least one occasion, Philip used hunting dogs to sniff out the warriors hiding in the trees, and they were careful arrangements to cover withdrawals in the face of enemy pursuit. Such operations were protracted and grueling, making heavy demands on the king as well as his soldiers, and both showed great tenacity. As always, diplomacy went hand in hand with warfare. Reviving his practice from the start of his reign, Philip married a sixth wife, Medea, daughter of King Clotius of Geta, a similarly warlike people living north of the Thracians. No children are recorded from this union, and she is not mentioned elsewhere. But the marriage appears to have served its function in cementing the alliance. So Philip's pretty busy during this time period. So what the heck is going on in Athens? That's where we're headed next. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.